Maybe we should just keep worshiping the Lord in song. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. A lot of those songs reminded me of Easter. And we do gather, you know why we gather on a Sunday? To celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. And yet, last Sunday was special because that's the day we set aside to celebrate Easter. This week, I hope you were thinking about Easter, and we wanted to talk about Easter again this morning. I think Easter should live in our hearts year-round, because that's what we do every Sunday. We really celebrate Christ's resurrection, because that's the most important thing in our lives. Paul said, if Christ didn't resurrect from the dead, what point is it us in being Christians? All our beliefs are for naught. And Mike talked about that a bit last week. I think I need to start out by apologizing for my lack of internet skills, I guess would be the word. Judy was pretty busy this week, and she said, well, you can send it out. And so I did send an email out to everybody, I thought, Monday. Then I realized I just sent it to Judy. So Wednesday, I resent it, and I thought everybody got it. But how many people actually got the email? Just a couple.
Two,
I think. And I think one person came prepared to share, maybe. Maybe two.
Well, that's all we need.
If you want to look at this, you can. If I have a couple, I made a couple copies. You can pass them around. But so I apologize for that. But it basically, we're asking who didn't get. Did you get the email? Probably not. I don't know how I did what I did, but the Lord knows. Yeah.
Don't feel alone in that. Yeah.
So basically, we want your thoughts and what Easter means to you. How has it affected your life? How has it changed the things you do? We sang this morning about Easter, basically, you know, and how that's changed our lives and what it's done. So I know a couple have come prepared, so I'm going to just open it up if you'd like to share, or those who have things prepared. I had prepared some things, but I'd prefer not to have to share. If you guys have things to say, we want to just share what Easter means to us. So who would like to go first?
It's like public speaking.
This isn't public speaking. This is just speaking.
I know. So when I read your list, I was a little nervous because I was like, well, which one do I pick or which two do I pick? So I didn't really focus on that as much as I was like digging deeper into your questions and your thought-provoking items. I was just kind of like, let me do some research. And these are things that came out to me. So I'm not like a fully knowledgeable, I'm still in my journey with God and Christ and learning the Bible and everything. We were children who were raised in the church, but we ate a lot of candy, a lot of Lifesavers, a lot of, and then, you know, he had five kids to keep quiet, and yeah, we ate a lot of candy, so I can say I didn't pay attention a lot. So one of my things is, first thing that pointed out to me was, like, Jesus did not come into the world to suffer and die. He came to bring the message of unconditional love and forgiveness. Why would he come in as a human just to go through all the things he did and then just die and then nothing be done for us? That was his whole point. So, like, Easter Sunday, it tells us that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. When you think of a relationship with your husband or your wife or a family member or whatever, there's never perfect love, but with God, there's perfect love, undying love. It couldn't be killed. Love couldn't be killed on the cross. God couldn't just end everything, you know? But he chose to put his son on the cross He put him on the cross for his love for us, and it couldn't be killed on the cross, nor could it be held in the grave. So that nobody else can do that. I don't care what religion there is out there, nobody could do that. And so I found this poem. It's from a guy named Eugene Harrison, and it's called How Do I Know? And this stood out to me because while I was in my journey in the beginning, you know, it's so easy to fall for the easier life. It's easier to blame others. It's easier to be miserable and be depressed and be in pain, because then you don't have anybody holding you accountable. You just blame everything. So this is called How Do I Know? How do I know that Christ is risen? What proof have I to give? He touched my life one blessed day, and I began to live. How do I know he left the tomb that Easter long ago? I met him just this morning, and my life is all aglow. How do I know the endless life he gained that day for me? His life within is proof enough of immortality. How do I know that Christ still lives, rich blessings to impart? I know it's true because he lives and reigns within my heart. There you go.
And while some people are sharing, maybe those of you who didn't get the email have something that's really important to you about Easter you'd like to share too. I think maybe there might be one other person that got the email that has something prepared to share.
I'm not sure if I understood the mission or not, but I at least wrote some answers down. If you read the questions there, I kind of had partially answered some of them. I think the whole question of, you know, why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe is it's a choice every day, really. I mean, it's a choice for us. The Bible says that daily we're to pick up our cross and follow Christ, and it's interesting how the busyness of life can really interfere with that. I think it's just subtle. But you know, as I was contemplating some of these answers to these questions, it's really hard to say, okay, if that's what I really believe, do I really act like that on a you know, even a weekly basis, let alone a daily basis? But this was some of the things I wrote down. As followers of Jesus Christ, it would be illogical to follow Jesus if he were dead. You think about it, that's really the one thing that makes Christianity so unique is other major religions follow a dead leader, where we're following one that is alive, risen again, that we can have that personal relationship. Personally, I think the resurrection gives me hope in the future, and a purpose in the present. If everything we did here, we just look at it for, oh, we got to go to work, we got to do this or that, it really, if you boil it down, it really has very little meaning, the little actions that we take each day. But because of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, it gives purpose to all that, that this world is not our final destiny. It gives us meaning, even through the daily struggles, the struggles that we all deal with. There's issues that may not be answered in this life, but we can take hope that in eternity it will all be answered. There will be significance to it. Questions three in this list just ask about, you know, what biblical passage of the resurrection is your favorite. I'm not sure this is my favorite necessarily, but I can relate to it. I'm going to read Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 32, just because I can really relate to, I guess, how these followers of Jesus were feeling at the time. I'll quick read the passage here. This is starting at verse 13 in chapter 24 of Luke. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And I can just think of it, you know, like, really? You have no idea of current events? I guess with our technology today, you'd be like, you know, didn't you see it on your news feed or trending or whatever things you like to look at? And they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that has happened in these days?" So just saying, you know, yeah, where were you? How can you not know? "What things?" And, you know, Jesus playing dumb, of course. And he said to, and they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he had been the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some of our women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they said they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'Foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory, or enter into his glory? And the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself.' So they drew near to a village in which they were going, and he acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us.'" I just wanted to just read the last two verses here. So they started to eat, and as Jesus prayed for the meal, verse 31 says, "Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." That is so like Jesus. Just like all of a sudden you realize it, and oh, he's gone. I guess even more reinforcing that, yeah, there's an alive Savior here. And it's, I really think some times we miss the point of the moment. You know, life is coming at us. Lots of things are, you know, "God, why are you letting this happen to me?" And in that moment, we don't realize it. And maybe we only realize it in retrospect as we look back, you know, certain circumstances or why something happened a certain way. We just realize, you know, what an opportunity that event was, and maybe we totally missed the whole point of it. And that's kind of how I see it with these, you know, Jesus followers, that they were, you know, so torn up that their Messiah was gone, and now they're saying he's alive and trying to process that. And I think they were just missing some of what the resurrection is all about. I think for all of us, ultimately, is we have to realize that God wants to use us and can use us, but he generally only uses us when we're broken, when we don't have it all together. And, you know, that's tough for me to realize, because, you know, I want to look a certain way to others. We have this fear of man that's sort of instilled in most of us. I think some people aren't scared of being in front of people or what others think, but you know, just to realize that, you know, God can ultimately use us with the flaws that we have and where we're broken, probably much more so than what abilities he's given us. So yeah, I guess it just gives me hope. Was I supposed to just keep going? I'm just answering the questions. All right, I'll keep going here. So just talking about impactful scriptures, this is another one, the thief on the cross. In Luke 23, when Jesus is hanging on the cross with two other criminals, I'll just quick read. I know this is familiar to most of us. Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. "One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said unto him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross got it. He figured it out a little too late in that life, but obviously in the life hereafter, he realized that, hey, I've sinned. I'm receiving the punishment as a result of the wrong decisions I made. And yet, what's incredible about it is Jesus extended mercy. It's not like Jesus was extending mercy, so, oh, well, you can go out and tell others about me. No, he was dying. I mean, he was no chance to share his testimony with someone else or be a long-term disciple. But, you know, we look at our own lives and see the same thing, that what was true for this thief on the cross can also be true for us. We can accept Jesus even though we have nothing to offer, nothing to give back. God still loves us and accepts us freely. And I know that's just astounding to me. One final thought that I wrote notes here, but I guess this is relating to the poem that was listed in the last question. And just said, this poem was by Dr. Ray Pritchard, I guess. Why is Easter greater than Christmas? If Easter had not happened, Christmas would have no meaning. If the tomb is not empty, then the cradle makes no difference. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then he really is just a misguided Jewish rabbi with delusions of grandeur. If Easter is not true, then Christmas is only the story of an obscure baby born in an out-of-the-way village in a forgotten land 2,000 years ago. It is Easter that gives Christmas its meaning. And then, interestingly enough, I wrote some lyrics from Victor's Crown here, but we just sang that, so I think that song is just very powerful. But yeah, praise God for his resurrection, because that's really what makes Christianity worth living.
Would anybody else like to share what makes Mary? Mary got an email too.
No, I did not. No.
She's just quick on her feet.
No, I didn't. I think one of the things that really hit me was Peter was so confident that he would stand with Jesus. I mean, he thought Jesus was just all wrong. I would never deny you. I would stand by you. I'll fight with you. I'll die with you. And then he turns around and denies him three times. And the verse that really stood out to me is, when that rooster crowed, Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I think, what must he have been feeling? I am done. God could never forgive me. I am done. And he went back to fishing. Thankfully, he didn't do what Judas did. And I really like when Jesus rose from the grave, and Jesus says, go tell the disciples that I'm alive, and Peter. And I think, wow, that is so cool. I just think that is really neat. I like that. And then this morning as I was coming here, I was hearing somebody on the radio, and they were looking at the verse, and I can't tell you where it is. I think it's in Romans. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And that's, you think of all the people who ever lived, who are living now, and will ever live. And a lot of those people will turn their backs and just say, I don't need you. But Christ took all of that. He became that for us. And the example that person used was like, if you run up a credit card, or you buy a house, you do something and you're in debt, and then you have to pay interest on it too, and you get to the point where you can't pay it, but you keep running it up, and you run it up, and you run it up. And he put it in monetary issues. And that's what we've done. It's not only what we do, it's what we don't do that we should do. It's what we think that we shouldn't think. Christ, God looks behind the deeds to inside, to our thought life. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. And we can't pay it back. It's just too much. And it doesn't matter how good a person looks on the outside. God sees through the whole person. And he says there's nobody that's good. Everybody has a debt they can't pay. And yet Christ was willing to come. And it was like, you can't pay. If you're in debt and I'm in debt, I can't pay your debt. It had to be somebody that didn't have any debt. And the only person that could do that was Jesus Christ, because he didn't have any debt, so he could pay our debt. And I just, that was just a really cool thought to hear this morning.
The four Gospels that we read have to do with the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. Can someone tell me how many years Jesus ministered? Three and a half, some people will say. 34% of the Gospels have to do with 1 week in Jesus' life. That tells us how important Easter is, how important it should be to our lives. And so this originally originated from Mike, because he was on for Easter Sunday, and he was going to do this Easter Sunday. And we talked about it in an elders' meeting and decided it would be kind of nice to do it after Easter, on the first Sunday of the month. And so that's why we're doing that this morning, to get you to think about what's most important about Easter, because it's such a significant event in our lives as Christians. I'll give you one chance to share it. If someone has something, you can still process it in your mind. I'm not going to share everything I had written down, just in case. But I thought that this was important. This is from John 20, 10 to 18, because the time, I don't think we'll read it, but this is when Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb and runs back and tells Peter and John, and then she's back at the tomb, and she's the one that waited around for Jesus. And she thinks, she sees the angels, and then she thinks she sees the gardener and doesn't know who it is, and it's Jesus then. Jesus says, I think in verse 16, he said to her, Mary, and she realized who it was. But the first person who Jesus showed himself to after he resurrected was Mary Magdalene, this lady who seven demons were driven out of from, you know. And God just loves to use the least of us. He loves to use you when you don't think you can be used at all. You could be his greatest asset. And he chose Mary because she loved him. She just really loved Jesus as her Lord. And that's the way we should really love him, probably more than what we do. Sometimes I think, how much do I love Jesus? Well, if I love someone, I spend time with them. But, you know, how much time do you spend with Jesus? How much do you love him? He just wants you to love him because he loves you so much. And I thought it's just really neat that he picked someone like Mary Magdalene to show himself first when he resurrected. And I liked what you shared about Peter. You know, Peter thought it's all over, David, you were saying. And yet look what God did with Peter. You may think that you can't help or you can't do much, but just imagine what God can do with you if you love him and allow him to use you. So someone else would like to share before we close? Chuck? Yeah.
That comes after Easter to me that I really appreciate is the fact that Jesus didn't stay here. He's now at the Father's right hand interceding for me in heaven, and someday he's going to come again and receive us unto himself. He's at the Father. He's my mediator in heaven, mediating for me.
I had to think, too. I mean, we talk about our resurrected bodies. No more pain, no suffering, no strokes, Alice, no headaches. I mean, we're not going to have any sickness. But I think as Dave was talking this morning, our bodies are going to be completely different because Jesus just kind of, he walks through doors. He appeared to the disciples. He's walking on the road to Emmaus with these two disciples. And then when they're sitting to, I guess, to eat, and all of a sudden he just disappears. So I think the bodies we have are going to be pretty cool. That's all I can say, but way beyond what we can imagine. So to close, this is a kind of, I think, a resurrection song. You can sing along, you can just watch the video. But some of you who are older may remember, it's from Don Francisco, who was kind of known as a storyteller and a singer. So he kind of told stories with his song. So let's just close with this song.
Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle. Voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night. None of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away. Now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden. Then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. The winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. It was when at last it came, the choices I denied, I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Gates are open wide. He's alive.
heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Father, we rejoice this morning that you are alive. You have risen from the dead, and you have are sitting at the right hand of your Heavenly Father right now, interceding for us, and we so thank you for that. But we also thank you that you sent us the Holy Spirit. You are still with us. You are a part of us. You give us guidance. You give us direction. Help us to do a better job than the disciples, if that's possible, Father. We just want to fall at your feet. We want to serve you. We want you to use us. Help us to not let things in this world get in the way of that, Father. We have given our lives to you. We want to serve you. We want to tell others about you. And so this week, let us remember that you are resurrected, that you are alive and living within each one of us. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us. Thank you for your great love for us. Help us to remember that as we go out into the world this week. In your name we pray, amen.